Interview with Governor George Busby, BUSBEE, Atlanta, Georgia, April 11th, 1975.
Governor, you've been active in politics most of this period we're studying. You served 18 years in the Georgia House, am I correct?
That's correct.
Was that your first political office?
Yes.
Why did you run the first time?
Well, I was president of the Junior Chamber of Commerce, the JCs in Albany. There was a vacancy that came up. The young people in the town became involved politically, and they asked me to run, and I did run, and that was the first time I ever considered running for public office.
And why did you stay in?
I enjoy it.
What's been the major changes since you've been in Georgia politics that you've seen?
Well, of course, the biggest change resulted from the abolishment of the county unit system that we had in Georgia. And by the reapportionment decisions of the Supreme Court, and I would say that was the most significant change we've had. Then next would be in voter registration, civil rights, black participation. I would say those would be the biggest changes.
Your primary victory, as I understand it, resulted in large part because you had very strong support among blacks.
Right, well, there were, of course, three stages to the election. One was a primary, one was a runoff, and one was the general election. In the initial primary, we had many candidates, and black support was pretty well divided. Bert Lance, one of my opponents, had the black metropolitan vote in the Atlanta area. We were pretty well divided out in the state. I had it in Savannah and some of the cities, but overall it was pretty well divided. In a runoff against Lester Mannix, I, of course, received the black support.
Didn't you actually get a majority in that first primary, though?
A majority of the black vote? I would say I don't have any exact way of telling. I would guess that it was pretty well even, considering the large number of the black vote that you have in the Atlanta area, which did go to him. Out in the state, I think I got a higher percentage than he did.
Was it split to some extent in Atlanta?
There was some split in the Atlanta area. We have some analysis on this. Dwayne could.
I'd like to see that point.
But he's going to have to fill you in on some of that.
Okay. How do you feel?
One of the significant turning point, as far as one of the significant turning points, was in Savannah. All the candidates met. They had a political action league down there, and the blacks, and that was touch and go, mainly between me and Lance. However, the other candidates were there, and each received some votes, but it was almost a tie.
I think I prevailed by two votes, one or two
I heard
votes
that.
Out of 50 or 60 votes.
The impression, we were here last May, I think, in fact, Walter was with me to reason. We attended the meeting of which all the candidates appeared before the County Officials Association. Mm-hmm. And interviewing a number of people at that time, it was hard to interview all 12 candidates for governor. But the impression I got from talking around that you had especially strong support among black legislators.
I would say that I had a majority support of the black legislators, yes.
How do you characterize the Democratic Party in Georgia at this time?
Well, the Democratic Party in Georgia has been mostly, we're in mostly one party system in the state, and there's some move in some areas. As far as state and local politics to the Republican Party, I think they're looking at the state versus the national scene. Those that vote nationally Republican are not the same people that vote in Democratic primaries. We don't have any party registration in this state.
Do you perceive the Republican Party at this time as being a threat in Georgia or being viable even?
I think they're stronger than they've ever been. I don't see any immediate chance of a Republican victory for governor, but I think the chances are better than they've ever been.
But this was about the weakest run they've had in, 8 years?
You mean in the race for governor?
Right.
Well, they had, what was the percentage vote? 30-something percent, I think, of the vote. I don't know how much of this were Lester Maddox people voting against George Busby that crossed over and voted Republican. There's no way of telling.
What do you think would have to happen for Georgia to go Democratic again in a presidential election?
I think you're going to have a Democratic candidate that would be acceptable to the Georgia people in a primary, which we'll have for the first time in Georgia this next term. And that's going to have to be a person that can identify with the Georgia people and will come down and really campaign in a primary.
Have the details of that primary been set up yet? Detailed yet?
Well, you have a commission as far as the timing of the election is concerned. We have not done this yet. I anticipate that I'm on the commission. I anticipate that this will be after the New Hampshire, Wisconsin, and Florida primary.
How about the details? Will it be a statewide proportional representation vote, or will it be by congressional district and voting directly for delegates?
Wayne's going to give you.
I'll have to look up the bill on that.
Let him brief you. He can give you all the details on that.
How do you feel about your legislative program this year?
Well, of course, all of my program was put together from the time I was elected and until the time of the legislature, including the writing of a budget, which was most important. But all of my program passed the legislature. 95% or better of the appropriations. Budget passed this session of legislature, so it was rather successful. I implemented a lot of new programs, and legislature went along with most all of them.
I've heard some criticism that people said you had to give up too much to the speaker to get your kindergarten bill through.
You're talking about a $35 million property tax bill, but this was no concession made in that because I campaigned on the bill.
In that version of it?
I wrote the version that passed. Now, the version that they wrote did not pass. The one that I wrote is the one that passed. That was a substitute written by me.
How significant has been the change in legislative power? And I'm referring now to, as I understand it, that before Lester Maddox became governor, that there was considerable more power in the governor's office, particularly insofar as virtually choosing the speaker and so forth, and that marked the beginning of an independence in the legislature.
That's correct. The reason was under our Constitution, if you no one received a majority vote, then the election was had by the legislature. In the past, when a person received the Democratic nomination, that was tantamount to being elected, and he was elected before the House met and organized, and he was able to control the appointment of the Speaker, the Chairman of the committees, and he completely controlled the budget, the appropriations, had contingent appropriations, whereby he could really have complete charge of the appropriations process. This changed when Lester Maddox and Bo Calloway, neither were elected and went to the legislature. We organized first, and I was part of the movement to make the House independent. We now have a Democratic caucus. We vote by secret ballot for the offices in the House, and this was the first independence we ever had, and we still have this independence in Georgia.
How do you feel about it now that you're sitting here?
I passed all of my program. I passed my appropriations bill, and I think it's I had to sell it to the legislature. I had to make certain compromises with them that I would not have done 20 years ago, not had to have done 20 years ago. And I think it's good, it's healthy, and I like it.
Do you consider that a change of major significance in state government in Georgia?
What, the independence of the legislature?
Right.
Oh, yes.
And I presume then you consider that it's also a lasting change.
Well, I think it'll be a lasting change, and should be.
How do you perceive
I think under this concept, though, you can still have strong leadership in the executive branch of government, which I think evidence is first year.
Do you appoint all agency heads? in the executive branch?
No, we have certain constitutional officers that are elected and some are appointed. Even though where you have constitutional boards, the governor has some influence. But we have about half of our department heads are appointed by the governor, and about half of them are elected by the people known as constitutional officers.
How do you assess the reorganization program Governor Carter put in his administration?
Well, I think he bit the bullet pretty well. You had to have some reorganization of state government. All over the nation, you've had reorganization, and it's not been extremely popular with the governor doing the reorganizing. I think that overall, reorganization was beneficial. However, it did leave some problems for me, mainly in the Department of Human Resources, where you have welfare and health and all services of this nature combined into a single department, vocational rehabilitation. This means that 22,000 to 50,000 state employees in one department. I have a lot of problems in this department, but it's the legislature this session gave me a blank check to restructure it and reorganize it any way I wanted. And I think that I'll be able to solve this, and that'll be the main problem that I have. The other area was in Department of Community Development, which consolidated community services along with industry and trade. I'm making a division in that. Other than those two areas, I'm able to work out everything, I think. I mean, other than those areas, I don't have a real problem.
I understand you made some proposals concerning minority employment in state government.
Well, we're under say your question again.
I said I understood you made some proposals in regard to that. You're under what?
Well, we're going to completely change the merit system, and we put the state patrol under the merit system. We're trying to hire minority groups and from minority groups.
Are you under any sort of EEOC order on that?
We have received an order, a commissioner's order, and we have interrogatories that have been directed to the government to determine whether or not there is or has been discrimination. And we're in the process of responding at this time to that.
How do you feel about the issue involved?
Well, I'm campaigned openly about the state that I think that all groups should be represented in government and have input, not just as employees, as secretaries and so forth, but in policymaking boards and administrative positions.
How about on your staff?
I have black representation. I have, of course, women.
How many blacks do you have?
Four, I think.
How do you?
I've made appointments. I've appointed the black board of regents. Several of the appointments I've made have been black.
What? 5 years from now, what would you like to be able to look back and say you accomplished as governor?
Well, I outlined this in my state of the state. My first priority is education, primarily in the secondary and education field. I champion the cause of vocational education. We have a good vocational system. Higher education, I've had a great deal to do with. We made a lot of progress, but we have a long ways to go in the elementary schools and the high schools in this state. That's my number one priority, improve the quality of education there. Secondly, I would like to economically develop this state, all areas of the state, not just urban areas, but all areas of the state. And thirdly, I'd like to streamline government somewhat and give the people a dollar's worth of government for each of the tax dollars that we spend. I think a lot of people have illusions of leadership. I can only serve 4 years. I can't succeed myself, and I'm not trying to bite off more than I can do. I think that if I can just outline these areas, which I've just done, and succeed in this, then I'll leave a mark that I want to leave.
Is constitutional reform an issue in Georgia?
Yes, we've had two constitutional commissions. The first one was during the reapportionment period. Three-judge court kept the people from voting on the proposed constitution, saying that it was drawn by a malapportioned legislature. The Supreme Court, after the general election, when it was to be submitted, reversed the three-judge court, but it was too late for it to be submitted to the people, so it was never voted on. During Lester Maddox's administration, we had another commission, and they came up with legislation for a new constitution that never passed the legislature to be submitted to the people.
Do you consider this a priority item?
I'm in favor of constitutional revision during my administration. I made a step last year by redrafting the Georgia Constitution, which has over 400 amendments to it, and trying to organize it. And my subject matter, we have a very disorganized constitution. By doing that, we could then amend an article at the time, such as education or home rule or something like this. But the way the Constitution is now drawn, you have things like county government maybe in three different articles of the Constitution, or finance in three different articles. And I think that was a first step. Now, this, I think, will be voted on next year. But we're either going to have a convention or a commission, most likely a commission.
How do you perceive your role in the Democratic Party?
Well, of course, I'm titular head of the party in Georgia. I have Marge Thurman, I recommended her appointment, and she was elected to the position of chairperson. She's been active in Democratic affairs through several governors, and even though I'm the head of the party, she is very active and does make policy decisions.
Would you anticipate actively campaigning on behalf of the ticket, Democratic?
Oh, yes, I will, yes.
I want to ask you this one. It's sort of an almost irrelevant in terms of the book will be published about the time it'll come out, but how do you think Governor Carter would fare against Governor Wallace in Georgia?
I think this will depend on how well that he does in New Hampshire and the Wisconsin and the Florida primaries. If he is a formidable candidate there and is recognized as a formidable candidate, I think he'll do pretty good. If he is not recognized nationally, I don't think he will.
Will you be supporting him?
I'm not committed to support anyone. As I said, I'm on the commission that's going to write the primary or the presidential preferential primary date. And I'm not taking any position on any candidate at this time. I'm not saying that I want in the future. I'm not committed anymore.
Did you by chance see the article Hal Raines wrote in the Washington Post about you?
I sure did.
What was your reaction to it?
Well, I appreciated some members of the press writing letters of apology for a person in their profession. I have no other comment on it. But it was unlike any other article that's ever appeared in a Georgia paper, even by papers that did not support me.
Anything in particular about it? Was bothered you that you considered it inaccurate or unfair?
It was just untruthful.
You mean a specific aspect?
Don't know what prompted him to write the article. It was a very vicious article. It was not true, and I don't know what prompted him to do it.
I mean, anything specific that you're referring to?
The whole article. True? The whole article. I'm not going to just pick out one thing. Outlined that I had made promises during the campaign that I was not keeping, and he wrote the article at the very front of a session, and by the end of the session I'd accomplished everything. I'd outlined in my platform, I'd gone forward with every promise that I'd made and every commitment I'd made, and I think he was premature in his article for one thing, but I think it was a very vicious and malicious article that I don't concur with.
It's untrue in the standpoint of being the whole thing a distortion.
Correct.
I mean,
it was a declaration after 13 days in office that he had not kept his campaign promises after 13 days in office. You know, in effect, that's what it was. A little premature.
What do you think you have done as governor that you might not have done if you had not had the legislative experience you had?
If I hadn't had the legislative experience I'd had, I don't think I'd have ever succeeded in getting my program through the legislature the first year of my administration. Carter had a very difficult time with the legislature and with his program. Maddox had the same problem. I've had hard work, but I think my legislative experience helped pass his program.
Do you think that because the legislature has achieved this greater independence that legislative prior legislative experience for a governor is going to almost be necessary to be effective?
I think it's certainly helpful, yes. Of course, Carter had some prior legislative experience, nothing like I had, but he had prior legislative experience, 4 years, I believe.
Yes.
Now, I think it is quite helpful. But I believe in independent legislature. And you have independent legislatures where they dominate the executive branch of government. I don't think it should exist, but, and I don't anticipate that it will during my administration, but I'm not trying to make the legislature into a rubber stamp.
I've seen several assessments of the legislative session. One is that you won, and one is that the speaker won. I presume you agree with the former, but...
I think we both won. I think the people won. I think we had a great session, accomplished a lot in this past session.
How do you assess the speaker?
Well, I think he's a capable person. I think that on most issues he agrees with me on. The issues that he disagrees with me on, he speaks out, and we have our differences, and the legislature resolves them. I've worked with him in the past. He was Lester Maddox's floor leader. We had differences then, but after that, during the independent legislature, I worked very closely with him for 4 years during the Carter administration. But he's a man of his own. He's not beholden to me. I didn't appoint him like many prior speakers, but he's rather outspoken. But I have no real difficulties as I see it with the speaker. I had difficulties with the kindergarten program, which he opposed. I had difficulties putting the state patrol under the merit system, which he opposed. But I passed both of them.
In having to change, alter the name of the kindergarten program, do you consider that to be substantive at all?
Well, I wouldn't say it's substantive, no. But it was a compromise.
I mean, you consider it more of a face-saving device for him?
Well, I just say it's just an area of compromise. He was opposed to kindergarten. But, of course, another compromise was I didn't get all the money that I asked for. I only got 80% of it.
Where do you see state governments heading? Well, you've been involved in it a long time and probably have given a lot more thought to this question than most governors, particularly most governors who have been in office no longer than you have.
Well, I think the role of the state is increasing. I think it's very evident now that people have lost faith in government more at the national level than any other level. But as you see the president and others in national government dealing more with state governments, that the role of the state is going to increase. The federal programs are designed towards state involvement. I think it'd be stronger state government, and that's a total move.
Where do you see the state moving? Was any major consumer legislation passed this year?
Yes. First we've ever had in Georgia.
This was your little FTC?
Right. We created a Fair Trade Practices Act in Georgia.
Do you see land use planning becoming a major issue in Georgia?
Well, as far as land use planning was proposed, and give me a cigarette. Look under my desk here on the right side. Land use planning is proposed by Congress, whereby you have land use planning at the state level, for all the state, and then regionally, will never come about, in my opinion, in Georgia. I'm very much in favor of land use planning, but I think it should be done by local governments, except for critical areas. And we do have some critical areas where you have to have seashore, things like this, that you have to have a vital area. Protection, but basically I believe in local governments having land use classifications and zoning laws.
Where do you see the South heading politically?
I think that the South politically is going to, the power is going to increase. I think that will be evidenced in this next presidential election where they've been ignored in the past. I think they'll have also, the power is going to increase because of the economic development in the South. This is the economic growth area of the nation, and I think this is going to be reflected politically.
What's been the real impact of blacks participating in the political process to the extent they now do?
Well, we have more and more of them. When I first came to the legislature, we didn't have any black legislators. We didn't have, we have very few black voters in this state. Now there is no discrimination. I don't know of any discrimination suit that we've had in years in this state. I think that everyone that's running for public office now recognizes that this is a group that can't be ignored in a political election. So they are involved, and they've become more involved by voting strength.
I think you voted against the seating of Julian Bond that first time. How do you feel now about that vote?
Well, I would have made the same vote. He and I frequently discussed it as I did then. The vote of the legislature was overturned by the court, but this was was quite a difference in the feeling of people as far as draft dodges and burning of draft cards and some of the things that he advocated at that time. Of course, now Vietnam is not popular, but not that it was popular at that time, but patriotism was very high. And, I think that I would vote the same way now as I did then. In that atmosphere.
Were there any significant changes this year in the legislature in terms of coalitions?
Yes, in the Senate, that was the main change we had. The House is pretty well the same as it's been, but for the last 4 years, the Senate's been divided into two factions. One was Maddox faction, and one was Carter faction. That was the governor's faction and lieutenant governor's faction. This is completely gone now. I had complete support in the Senate. There are no factions. Now it's just individuals. That's the biggest change we've had. We've had a lieutenant governor work very closely with the governor.
Is the House more factionalized than it was?
I would think that the younger representatives, we had 60-some-odd, Wayne can give you the figure, 60-some-odd new representatives this time, and I think they asserted themselves more than they ever have in the past. They themselves were more independent.
Dwayne said you had some other appointments. I don't want to.
Well, my problem, Jack, is I've got to catch a plane out of here in a few minutes, and I hated we had a rush. I wanted to sit down and talk with you at length. The other problem that I had, turn that off, man, if you will, is that Les Wayne, he can fill
okay.
you in.
Let me just ask, is anything else you particularly wanted to comment on that we didn't cover?
No, I think that one of the big changes as far as the South is concerned is in the economic field. I think that that's where our strength is going to come from. And when I first came to the legislature, for many years we were trying to lure industry from the North, and that was the way we had economic growth, and now everything we do is international. So we're very much internationally involved here, and this puts us on a working relationship with the State Department, with the President and people, I guess.
How evenly balanced is the rural versus urban split in Georgia?
I should have mentioned this a while ago. You asked the major changes, and I mentioned the county unit system. This split is almost non-existent. We used to have caucuses of the urban people and the rural people, and we don't have this anymore. We have the...
That was fairly recent, too, wasn't
it? And this has been up until the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, it's disappeared completely in the last 2, 3, or 4 years. You have the rural legislators that now vote for MARTA, World Congress, and things like that in the Atlanta area. You don't see this anymore. It was quite evident when I first came to the legislature, urban versus rural.
I did want to ask you one last question, but I might ask one more. And that was the, Governor Sanders' role in working with the problems of the city of Atlanta. And bringing you into it?
He, along with some of the business leaders in Atlanta, the Mayor Jackson and some of his people have met with me and pointed out some of the problems. I agreed to meet with them later and asked them to meet in the meantime on some of the problems that they have, and I intend to do this.
How did the legislature respond to Atlanta's problems?
I would say pretty good. Well, I mentioned MARTA, I mentioned the Congress and things like this. I think they respond very readily. They did not respond as far as Grady Hospital, which is a charity hospital, and because we have the same problems with every urban community in Georgia, but overall they respond.
Is there any reluctance at all on the sales tax on the motels?
This would be an area that exemplifies what I was saying. This won't help anybody but the large urban areas. And the rural legislators went along with the bill. And they've done this in several instances. Same way with the local option income tax.
But how was that, say, sold to them politically? You know, why should they go along with something just to help Atlanta? It's not going to do them any good.
Oh, yes. That's a very strong feeling throughout the state. This is capital city, and the way Atlanta grows is the way Georgia is going. And if we can make this a empire in the South, that we'll all benefit by it. I mean, we have a great interest among all legislators in trying to get the various consul offices and things in Atlanta. They're very much interested in Atlanta.
When V.O.K. wrote his book, I think he subtitled Georgia, The Rule of the Rustics, and he had to subtitle a chapter in a book on Georgia today. What would you say is sort of a dominant theme in Georgia politics?
I don't know. I think it's progress now. I mean, people, as you can see by the last election, people have just changed. They're interested in education. They're interested in the quality of life, all the people in this state, and they want to move forward, and they want to be a part of the nation. And I just think it's progress is a theme.
Governor, thank you very much.
You got me in a bed.
End interview with Governor George Busby. No more transcription. This tape.